Hello, this is Brad Warren, and you are listening to Beyond the Event, a youth ministry podcast presented by Christ in Youth, where we help you maintain momentum between the mountaintops. We are back. I'm so excited. We're back for season three. Can't believe I'm saying that, that we're three seasons into this thing. So thanks for coming along on this journey. We had a great summer of Move and Mix, thanks to all of you wonderful people. And I can honestly just run it back right now. Do summer all over again. I'm ready to go, but I am excited to be back with season three. And you know, we're gonna do something a little bit different this season. You might have been listening along to the podcast for seasons one and two. Notice that we got into kind of a rhythm there. In the past, we've kind of had like a topic that we've discussed, and we've brought on an expert to discuss that topic. And then we've had another interview where we let you see behind the scenes what life at CIY looks like. Those episodes were a lot of fun, and we want to keep a lot of the culture of a lot of those episodes. But in this season, we're excited to let you hear exclusively from youth pastors. And instead of discussing a specific topic, we're going to have a little bit more of an unstructured but still intentional conversation about youth ministry and just kind of see what we can glean from different people's experiences. So you'll get to hear from all kinds of people this season. Will they all be mega church youth pastors from the Midwest? No, they will not. You'll get to hear from men and women from small and large churches all across the U.S. And I'd encourage you to tune in even if a guest doesn't really check a lot of the same boxes as your context, because we're going to have some really spirit-led, high-capacity people on here, and I think that you'll be encouraged by the ways that Jesus is at work in their ministries. You may be asking yourself, Brad, how am I going to learn what's going on at CIY? Brad, what's happening to the mailbag? Well, fear not. We will be peppering in, tastefully, several episodes throughout the season that will be dedicated entirely to you hearing from the incredible folks at CIY and having them answer some of your questions. So if you want to submit mailbag questions, you can still do that. You can still do it on the CIY Community Facebook group. You can still do that by email at podcast@ciy.com. And you can still do that by sending us mail, which I love to get, physical mail, to P.O. Box B in Joplin, Missouri, 64801. All right, let's get to our first guest. His name is Tito Lozano. He works with junior and senior high students at Lakeshore Christian Church in Antioch, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And I'm really excited for you to hear from him because he's a rock star. So let's go to my interview with Tito. Tito, thank you so much for coming and being on Beyond the Event.
Thank you for having me, Brian. I'm excited.
Hey, you are our first guest since summer of 2023. So we take a break during the summer. We're back. How was your summer?
Man, it was fantastic. It was busy. A lot of events, but with Mix and Move, they were one of our favorite things that we did this summer. And it was just refreshing to get the new school year started. But the summer was a blast.
Yeah. So summer, big like change of pace for a lot of youth pastors. I know you say it's busy. You know, there's like a cut back a little bit on the normal. Do you guys stop doing your normal like programming, or do you keep going with that?
Yeah, so we have, so my programming normally goes Sunday morning we do junior high first service, and then we do high school second service, and then we meet on Wednesday nights, just high school and junior high together. So the only thing that changes for our summer programming is Wednesday nights are no longer like a regular Wednesday night event. We just do events throughout the summer, whether they're lake days, we do cookouts and just stuff like that.
Every week.
Just different things, whatever pops up, mostly every week.
Okay.
We'll take a week off or 2 weeks off.
Holy cow. Wow. Yeah. So youth pastor, what's the value of summer to you? Like, why is summer, obviously it's a change of rhythm for you. It's a change of rhythm for your kids. Why is that change of rhythm like important to you? Why do you look forward to that? You know, and that doesn't have to be like a deep answer. It could just be like, I like doing a different thing. You know, I don't know. But like, why is that an important change of pace for you?
I think it's the events that we do throughout the summer, whether they're cookouts, whether they're lake days, you know, whatever the event is, I feel like it's an easier outlet to invite their friends. So we get new members all the time. We get new people. We have families that join us. We do a lot of family events throughout the summer and stuff like that. And to be honest, it's just fun. It's just, I love doing things. I'm a person that I like to go. So the more that I can do, the funner it is. And I think the students really enjoy it. It keeps them busy and it keeps them doing stuff.
Okay. So did you do anything different? Did you do anything new this summer? Did you try anything different that like you hadn't done before?
Not really. I think we kind of kept it pretty much the same for the summer. We did new events. I'm not the best at planning things. So it'll be like, hey, this week we're doing this. Like I don't have a summer calendar that it's like, hey, these are the events we're doing this summer.
Got it.
It can literally be like, hey, next week we're doing the lake, or next week we're doing this. So I just kind of just play it as it goes.
You have like a bank of things that you can choose from, and then it's like, this feels right for this week at this, you know, and then you kind of play it as you go. Yeah. It's cool that you have the flexibility to be able to do that. And then, so like, how do you communicate those things then if it's kind of like, I can imagine being a kid in your youth group, and it's like, oh man, I'm super pumped to find out what are we going to do this week? I'm sure it's going to be something awesome, something fun, something different. Like, how do I find out what that is? How are you communicating with parents, with kids?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Just, you know, through Sunday mornings, I make sure I communicate to all the students, because we still have our Sunday morning regular schedule. So I communicate through that, and then parents through email. I know that it's not always the best when it's like, hey, I know it's 4-day notice, but we're all going to go on a boat and we're all going to go have fun. But it plays out. It works out. I'm trying to figure out a better way to plan those things out, but we're learning.
Hey, man, sometimes the spontaneity and flexibility of those kinds of things is what makes it a little bit fun. And that's part of what makes summers unique too, is just, it's like, hey, you know, we're going to go out to the lake, or we're going to go do whatever, do this thing or whatever. And people get to kind of just tag along, and I'm sure it's a different group of people every time you go too, because you've got people on vacation, people doing this, that, and the other kind of activity kind of thing anyway. So, that's got to make it different as well. So have you settled back into your fall routine yet? Has that already happened?
Yes.
Okay.
So last night was our first Wednesday night. We're supposed to do an outside event. One of the students was actually going to do their Kingdom Worker card, which is like, hey, host 4 parties throughout the school year and then share your testimony. And she was going to do that, but the heat index over here was too hot. So we decided to switch it up a little bit. And we just had a pizza night at the house. I invited the families to come and sit for what we're going to be talking about this school year, some of the visions that I have for this school year and stuff like that. And it went great.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about what you're excited about for this school year. I know one of the great things about a youth ministry calendar is it gives you natural places to kind of hit the reset button. And we're all kind of in one of those places right now, which is the kickoff of a new fall semester. And it's an exciting time to look back and say, you know, last year I did this and it was great, or last year we did this and it wasn't great, but this year I'm excited to do this. So what, heading into this new season, what is it that you're kind of pumped about in your own ministry there?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think this is a year where I want to try new things. I think this is a year where I want to add new stuff. There's a couple things I have in mind. Like one is just having every fourth Wednesday of the night, we do a cookout or a family dinner where it's just not much programming. Well, the families get to come and see how the students interact in open gym. They'll be able to meet their small group leaders. And then we just have dinner together. It gets the families more involved. It gets everybody to kind of see what we're doing and what the goal is. And that's something that I got to just experience going to Franklin Christian Church a couple weeks ago. I got to see Hunter Wright and how they did a family night and a different scale. But I saw those things and I was like, I want to bring that back to our youth group and see how I can get the parents involved. So that's just one of the things. I'm working on a lounge area in our youth group room to just add other stuff throughout the week. It's like, hey man, come on, you got to do homework. I know a lot of people are always looking for places to study and stuff like that. I'm trying to find different ways to use the church as much as possible, other than just our Wednesday nights and a Sunday morning.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Lakeshore in terms of like where you guys are located there. I mean, I besides having heard of you and your church, I'm not familiar with Antioch, Tennessee at all, except it sounds hot. So tell me a little bit about it and, you know, the type of community that Lakeshore is kind of embedded in there. And, you know, why do you like living there? What do you enjoy about it?
Yeah. So it's a city's Antioch, Tennessee, which is just right in the suburb of Nashville. It's a very diverse community there. And that's the one thing that I love. So I was born in Los Angeles, but I've lived in Antioch since I was like 2 years old. So it's what I know. I went through all the public schools there and just the diversity that I faced there. And then being a Hispanic man and then going to Lakeshore now and seeing, trying to reach the community and just reach all kinds of different people is something that I'm proud of and excited of. Just to see the youth group and the congregation reflect what our community is super exciting.
Are you saying that, like, you feel like Lakeshore does a good job of that, or okay, they do. Yeah. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you guys have had to be intentional about that, or is that just something that's kind of happened as a result of being in that community that you're in?
I think just being in that community that we're in, and then just having that, like, my background at least, where I feel like I can relate to a lot of the families and a lot of the kids in that community.
Yeah. No, that's super cool, man. So trying some new things. So we are, you know, adding some stuff, these family meals and building kind of a new area in your youth room. And I'm aware of the fact that, like, you know, someone could be listening in on our conversation and kind of wondering a little bit about the dynamics of your youth group, and they know a little bit about your community, but wondering a little bit about how that makes its way into Lakeshore itself, and like, what is the context for some of these things that you're talking about? So how long have you been at Lakeshore? Is it so you moved there when you were two? Is this a church that you actually, like, came to faith in and grew up in, or is it?
This is a church I started going to when I was in sixth grade. First church
That's
I started
so
going to.
Cool, man.
It's unexpected. I never expected to be a youth pastor, but here I am 6 years later, and
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah,
I love it.
So, I guess my question is, like, what is it that you love about Lakeshore? About that specific group of people, what do you love about being embedded in that community? What is the personality of the church kind of like?
Man, other than just, I think, the great teaching that Lakeshore does, the biggest thing that stuck out to me was the relationship side. They've cared for me. I mean, my youth pastors were great. I can't tell you a sermon that they preached, but I can tell you the countless times that they were there for me. And it's still, even now as a staff member, the times I know that I can look at any of the staff members and talk to them in faith, have good conversations with them. And it reflects to just even the parents and stuff like that, just the relationship aspect of what Lakeshore has been to me has meant a lot. And that's kind of what I'm trying to reflect to these students, is just that relationship side. It's like, hey, I know that I might not be the best speaker, but God's word is still going to overcome that. But, like, if I can be there for it, if I can come to that game on a Friday night, if I can come to your band thing, if I can take, you know, some of you guys out to lunch and have those good conversations, just trying to really embed into that relational side of everything, because Lakeshore has done such a great job with me on that side. I wouldn't be here without that.
Yeah.
It's something that really stood out to me and made me just feel comfortable. So I would just want every student that comes through Lakeshore to feel as comfortable as possible, because I know how it changed my life for the better.
Yeah. So you've been there for over 6 years. You said almost 7 years now, right? Six, seven years?
As
the youth pastor. So, like, how have you seen that culture kind of, like, pay off? Like, what are some stories of kids that have come through that it's like, that have been encouraging to you? Like, do you have kids in mind that it's like, man, I've really seen this investment, like, have a really cool impact on this kid? Or, like, I've seen this volunteer, like, invest in this group of students in a certain way, and it's, made a huge impact in their lives and in their spiritual walk, or anything like that. Like, share some of the successes kind of that culture that you're trying to create there, or trying to create. You said you've benefited from it as a student, so not create, but trying to keep going.
Yeah, just seeing the trust that these students have, and not just me, but my other volunteers, but then just building that community within themselves. I think it has been awesome. This past year at MOVE was one of my favorite because it was a big group of the returning students. We have a huge group of seniors this year, and I didn't have to tell them like anything this year. It was just, I saw them go and lay their hands on other students and pray for them, become those leaders, take other kids to the side and be praying for them. When they got their Kingdom Workers cards at the end of the day, at the end of the week, they already had a text chain because a lot of them had the same Kingdom Worker card. So they had a text chain of like, hey, we're going to keep each other accountable. So just seeing them grow in that, and not just grow individually, but like bring others along with them, bring the younger students along with them, has been cool. It's given me the opportunity at these events and even at other youth group stuff, just to sit back and watch it. I love to be part of these conversations, but sometimes it's cool to sit back and just see these older students take charge and have those communications with the younger students and even with themselves. It's been the coolest experience this summer that I got to witness.
So that's a group of seniors that are coming up, or they had just graduated?
They're coming up. So we have a large group of seniors coming up, and it's going to be a tough year to watch them leave, because they've been rock stars, man.
Yeah. Are you, are they like plugged in serving in any area? Like, how are they stepping into leadership roles, not just at places like MOVE, but how do they get to lead out at Lakeshore on kind of like a regular basis?
Yeah. So we have different people in the congregation that are in need. So sometimes they know that they can look at the youth group for students that are willing to help them out and different stuff like that. But also just leading small groups. I don't have any students right now, just the way that it was formatted, that they're like student led small groups, but they still decide to lead within those small groups. So even when we break off, you know, I try not to have the adult leaders talk throughout the whole small group. We try to let the students communicate as much as possible, and just seeing those older students talk and lead those conversations, especially when some of the younger ones are just trying to make jokes, you know, youth mm-hmm. group, it's anytime you can crack a joke, they're going to try to do it. And just seeing some of the older kids just kind of snap them back into place in a nice and loving way and keep the conversation rolling. But opportunity wise, like to lead, it's not, I don't think any of them have like specific, like, hey, I'm a greeter on Sundays, or hey, I'm this. It's just when the opportunity arises, they step up for it in different occasions.
Yeah. So you are kind of a rare person. I don't know that I know a ton of people who like grew up at a church and then became like a full-time staff member at that church. Like most people in ministry, like grew up somewhere, came like, you know, a lot of people that I talk to, because I work at CIY, I know this isn't everybody's story, but a lot of people that I talk to, they have this story where it's like, oh, I went to a MOVE conference and I heard this call into ministry, so I went to Bible college and then I got a job at so-and-so church. But like not a ton of people just like are homegrown leaders within their home church. So it's really encouraging for me to hear you say like, man, we moved here when I was 2 years old, when I was in sixth grade, I found this church. I've been here ever since. Now I'm a full-time youth pastor here, and I benefited from the culture, and I'm trying to kind of keep this culture so that other kids can kind of have the same feelings of comfort that I had. So I want to know more about like how it feels for you, because I'm sure that there are people out there listening to this right now who are like, man, it would be awesome if we could recreate more Tito's, where it's like, if we could just like raise up more leaders from within our church, like homegrown leaders that could become part of our church staffs, part of our student ministry staffs, and not have to do so much of the like, oh, I need to find the right culture fit and plug the right pieces into the right places and that kind of thing. So I want to know more about that journey for you and just like what it's like to work at a place that was so formative for you. And I don't even know what my question is really. Just like, what does it mean to you to be there, you know?
It's crazy, man, because to be honest, I never wanted to be a youth pastor.
What did you want to do?
I have no idea. I was a knucklehead. I was a knucklehead in high school. And to be honest, like my biggest fear is public speaking. Like that is probably my top three. So even the speaking aspect, when I go up there, like I still have like the shakes. I still get nervous. I still get, but the cool thing about it is I got to witness God not take away that fear. Cause I thought that was going to happen. I was like, man, God's going to take away this fear from me. And I think he's still capable of it, but it's been proven to me now that it's like, he doesn't take that fear away from me, but he gave me the strength to overcome. I mean, we're like I said, sitting here 7 years, and I still do it. Is it still scary? Yes. But God has just given me that strength and that motivation to be like, hey, like that's a little fear, but you're doing something bigger than that fear. And you can trust in me because, just to even back it up a little bit, I didn't graduate high school. I got my GED, I didn't go to Bible college or college in general. Right. So one day I'm trying to figure out what I want to do in life. I'm just working, and my youth pastor, that was my middle school youth pastor, he came up to me. He was like, hey man, I think you'd really be good at this. Cause I was volunteering as a middle school leader, small group leader. And he said, hey man, you should try this out. It'd be fun. And it was an internship to CIY Mix. And I was like, all right, that sounds good. And I was like, I'm not going to get it. So I waited till the last day to sign up for the Mix internship and end up getting it. They wanted you to submit a video, and I didn't do that because I was like, I'm bad at videos. I'm just not going to submit a video. So I get an email back later, and they're like, hey man, we want to, you know, send you off to the second part of this application, but a lot of the people's videos messed up, so can you just resend yours? I was like, oh man, I made it to the second phase. Like I really do have to take this video now. So I made the most awkward video. Well, you know, to wrap it up, I end up getting that internship, have the best summer of my life, and plan on going back the next year. And I do. I get an invitation to come back for my second summer as an intern at CIY. And right before I head off, it's like a week before I head off to my second summer Mix. Like I was planning not just to head off to Joplin, but to live there. Not to get like a job at CIY, but I was like, I'm single. I have nothing holding me down here, so I can just try something new. And a week before I headed out, that's when they were like, hey man, we're opening a second campus. And I was like, cool. And they're like, we kind of want, you know, our middle school guy is now going to be the lead pastor at the Smyrna campus. We kind of want you to come in and fill this role. And I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. And my initial thought was like, nope, like I'm not taking this. Like I can't speak. It's scary to speak. It's this and that. And I just kept praying about it, man, and talking to people. And that was a cool thing when I headed off to Joplin. I got to talk to some awesome people, and it just, nobody told me to do it or not to do it. They just gave me wisdom. And through prayer, my heart was like, I need to take it. So I came back and I've been there ever since. And it's just been cool because it all happened because of those relationships, the importance of being there. And even if we want to even go further back, just going to Lakeshore, it took somebody on the bus just saying, hey man, you want to come play basketball? And so all those little things helped me be the youth pastor I am now, because it shows me the importance of just an invitation. I try to tell kids, I'm like, hey, I don't care why they come here. You can tell them, hey, come here to just get pizza. I don't care why they're there, but because I think beautiful things can happen. Like I went to Lakeshore to play basketball, and so much more happened through those, through that invitation and through the adult leaders there, through the youth group that was there. So just taking those small things that can become so huge when you put them in effect, it has changed how I see ministry and how I do my ministry.
Yeah.
No. And I don't know if I answered your question, but
yeah. It was great. I don't know if you did either, but I don't remember what I asked, but it was good stuff. I'm glad you got to share some of your story there. And, you know, it's really cool because, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of the people that have like ambition to go into ministry feel like really strongly that they like want to go into ministry. Sometimes I don't know if they really like wrestle with whether or not they actually have a calling to go into ministry in the way that you actually had to wrestle with that. And so, you know, I applaud you for really taking that seriously and wrestling with something that you didn't know if you ever wanted to do. And now, you know, like I know that you're an extremely spirit-led person and your ministry is bearing a lot of fruit. And you know, Tito, like 7 years at the same church in full-time youth ministry is not something to like bat an eye at either. You know, the longevity of that is huge. I know that you've seen the statistics of like how long youth ministers typically last in the jobs that they're in. And it ain't 7 years. You know what I mean? it's somewhere way, way south of that. So, yeah, it's cool that now, I mean, I know you're junior and senior high. So like,
yeah, I think during COVID, I took over the high school.
Yeah. So now you have like kids that started in the sixth grade when you first started as a full-time student minister who are getting ready to graduate from high school, right? Am I doing the math right there?
Yeah. No, it's going to be, I might cry.
Like, that's
it's
nuts.
It's like one of those things.
So like all those high school students though that you were talking about who are like crushing it, like that's a testament to your longevity and like, I mean, it's a testament to Jesus and what he can do in the lives of students, but it's also a testament to the ways that he's been at work at Lakeshore through you. So, I mean, that's such a cool story and I'm so glad that you got to share it. And it's cool to hear a story of a kind of a homegrown leader and someone who took a bit of an unconventional path into student ministry. So thanks for being willing to kind of share about that with us. So
yeah, no problem.
All right. I want to end on a lighter note, if that's okay.
Yeah.
In 7 years of ministry, just so that we can lighten it up a little bit. I don't want anybody like crying, losing control of their cars or anything. What in 7 years of ministry at Lakeshore Christian Church, what's the most ridiculous thing that a student has ever done?
Man, that's a tough one.
I know, because they one-up themselves every day, don't they?
They do stupid stuff. They say stupid stuff. This is not one of the most ridiculous, but it happened not too long ago. We were doing like prayer requests or something, and somebody had like colon cancer, and they're like, oh, does that mean they have to take their tonsils away or something like that? And this and that. And I was just like, that's not where I hope. I hope not, because that's not quite the same thing. And opposite ends, just crazy things that they say like that, or catching. I caught a kid just sneaking out one time to go to the gas station. He was like, thought he was the sneakiest, and I like ripped him a new one. And then like, he took it great, but it was funny. Anytime a kid would do something, he'd be like, hey man, don't, like Tito will really get you. Like, there's so many doing ministry for 7 years, man. It's a lot of the things that they say, a lot of things that they do. Man, I wish I could think of some more stories, because I know there's a whole bunch of them.
Did you have any good ones at Move or Mix this past summer?
Nothing too crazy. Just I got my toes painted. They let a lot of these kids paint my toes pink and blue. A little few pranks going on here and there. I remember another one that one of my small group leaders told me this week, and he was just like, one of the students was like, "Hey man, Mr. Jason, like, you must really love middle school boys," and he was just like, because he's a great leader.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you must love kids. And he was like, yeah, you should rephrase that question like, just a little bit. So
I appreciate the thought. However.
Exactly. It's just stuff like that, man. I could tell countless of stories. We had one time at Mix too, had a kid get knocked out during one of the games, like one of the outer room games.
Like unconscious? Lights out?
For a second. I don't think he went full lights out. Probably had a concussion. But then I think he started milking a little bit. The first thing he comes, he's like, hey, who's this girl? Like he said the name. Hey, he's like, who's Haley? And it was a girl in a youth group. And I could tell he was not like concussed. He was like, that's the only name I remember. Does she mean something to me? And I was like, get out of here, dude. You are not concussed. Like I was like, no, you're... So just stuff like that, man. There's so many youth
making the most of every opportunity. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm like, who uses a concussion to try to holler at a girl? But hey,
they will use anything to try to holler at a girl. We were at Move this summer, and a kid proposed to my MC on stage B. So there you go.
Nice.
High school boy proposed to a college age girl on stage B. Didn't even know her.
It's crazy, man. Every year,
kids are wild.
You get up. Yeah.
Kids are wild.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Tito, on that note, I just want to say appreciate you, man. Really, really thankful for you spending a little time with me today. Thankful for you. Thankful for your ministry. Keep up the good work, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you for having me, Brad.
I am super grateful that we were able to have Tito on the podcast today. I love hearing from people who are working in their home churches, and especially from Tito, because so many of the people that I know have kind of gone on the same journey of deciding, but feeling the call that they want to go into ministry and going to Bible college and then kind of pursuing whatever God has for them after that. But Tito's story of being kind of like a homegrown leader within his church is just a really different thing for me to hear and a really encouraging thing. I hope that was encouraging to you as well. And speaking of encouragement, I am going to read our blessing over our listeners today. If you are new to the podcast, or this is your first time listening, which I suspect that for some people it will be, we want the very best for you, and we want to pray for you. So that's how we close out our time together every single episode of the podcast. So this is what we pray God would bless you with. May God show you grace and bless you. May he make his face shine on you. May you experience the love of Christ, through whom God gives you fullness of life. May you be strengthened by his power. May Christ himself make his home in your heart, that you would be full of his love and grace, and that those you serve would see Jesus in you. Today's episode was produced by Michael Hester, Lauren Bryan, and myself. Thanks again to Tito for hanging out with us today. And of course, thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode with a youth ministry friend. We'll be back in a couple weeks, but in the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on the CIY Community Facebook group or by email at podcast@CIY.com. See you next time.